Ramsey TV.
God is not an equal opportunity anything. God gives no one opportunities to do anything. He decides everything ahead of time. Those not chosen to believe from before the disruption of the world have no opportunity to believe. They can't overcome that. And we have no opportunity not to believe. We can't overcome that. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to Wednesday's edition of MZTV. Now, God chose the nation Israel. Chose one little people out of all the other nations. Some people might think, because of God's choosing of Israel, that the other nations suck. They're no good. No, it's not that at all. In fact, God probably chose the worst people. That's God's modus operandi. He chooses the worst in order to demonstrate his power. This is what he did with Saul, the crazy Pharisee, who was out to wipe the name of Jesus Christ and those who followed him off the face of the earth. God said, there's a terrible guy. My power will really show up big time in this loser. I'm going to choose him as a spokesman of grace. And all the angels in heaven went, that's a good one. Spokesman for grace? And then they saw the wisdom of it. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Boy, if you're gonna launch a gospel on grace, what better way to demonstrate it than to choose the biggest idiot on the face of the earth, the most ungracious person on the face of the earth? And that's just exactly how God does it. So when he chose Israel, he didn't give any other nation an opportunity to be his favored nation. And again, there's nothing wrong with the other nations. Nothing wrong with them. In fact, they were probably better than Israel because of the principle I just elucidated. There's no chance for other people to become God's favored nation. Well, you might think it's unfair that a Chinese guy can't be an Israelite. That's not fair. Then God's not fair either. Not only is he not equal opportunity anything, but he's not fair. God chose that people and that race as those to whom he would give his initial secrets. And he would build the tabernacle system around those people, and he would eventually make them a priesthood nation that would bring all the other nations to God during the 1,000-year millennium. And again, the other races are probably superior. It has nothing to do with worthiness. And again, there's no such thing as opportunity. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as fairness. God is not fair. Doesn't intend to be fair. God's not trying to be fair and failing. This is why people reject the political correctness of today. That we have to make everything equal. We have to make everything fair. We have to give everyone an equal opportunity. It's the same with husbands and wives in a scriptural marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, God makes husbands the head of the wives. Well, God must think wives are stupid, or wives are lesser. Women must be lesser. Not the case at all. In fact, there's a scripture verse that says, God gives to the deficient more exceeding honor. There's a key verse that'll explain all these examples I'm going to give you today. God's choosing of Israel, God making Israel the head of all the other nations, God choosing Saul to give him the secrets of the evangel, secrets of the cross, the secrets of God, all these secrets that Paul got. He's not superior. In fact, he's inferior. So any wives in a scriptural marriage who think that they're inferior, you're not. In fact, you're superior in many ways to your husband. But God gives to that which is efficient, is deficient, not efficient. Men are not efficient. God gives to the deficient more exceeding honor. It's just the way God does things. He develops the character of people this way. Because the wives are sitting there, man, I could do a much better job than this guy. I wish I could be the head of the home. Yeah, you probably could do a better job than the dude. But it's just like the teacher giving the disobedient student, the troublesome student, the task of cleaning the erasers after school. You take this person who is deficient and you give him or her more exceeding honor. And by doing so, you develop the character of that person. You also develop the character of the people who are sitting there going, hey, wait a minute, why didn't I get this job? Why didn't I get this job? Huh? You develop their character as well. You give them a spirit of humility. The same thing with the other nations or the other races. If you're about another race besides the Israel race, then you have to remind yourself that it's the deficient to whom God gives more exceeding honor. That means you're better, in fact. Because those Israelites were mean and nasty, and they were stiff-necked people, hard-hearted people. I'm not saying anything that God hasn't said already. He's the one who said that that's what they were. In fact, you're familiar with the verse from Romans chapter 9, verse 11, for not as being born nor putting into practice anything good or bad, that the purpose of God may be remaining. This is the purpose of God. It's not a purpose of opportunity or the purpose of fairness, that the purpose of God may be remaining as a choice. His choice, not ours, not out of acts, that is, not out of choices of what we do, or our jockeying for position. It's not about that at all. It's about him who is calling. It was declared to her, that is to Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. It was declared to her, the greater shall be slaving for the inferior. The greater shall be slaving? You made the great one to slave? And you made the inferior, you gave the inferior a more noble position. According to it is written, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Jacob, the name Jacob means supplanter. Jacob was treacherous. He tricked his brother into selling him his birthright. And in this context, Esau is actually the greater, but he's going to be slaving for the inferior because God chooses the inferior things. And that which is not, to confound that which is. Once you understand this, you'll look at those people God hasn't chosen, or you look at the nations God hasn't chosen, and instead of looking down on them, you'll say, this proves that they're actually superior, that they're actually greater. And again, it's this way right down the line. Well, I'm thinking how much wives in a scriptural marriage are going to love this. The husbands might not love it. There are some husbands who lord it over their wives. I'm the head of the home. I'm the head of the home. Yeah, that's because you're deficient. That's why you're the head of the home. Or Israel saying, that's right, we're the best nation ever. No, God chose the littlest, stupidest nation. This is why Saul, who became Paul, understanding his pedigree, understanding that he was the chief sinner, the foremost of the sinners, never got on any kind of high horse because he understood God's principle. He understood the principle that it is not according to worthiness. It is not according to acts. It's according to the choice of God and the purpose of God. I read again, verse 11 of Romans 9. For not as yet being born, nor putting into practice anything good or bad. We would base merit on whether you do good or bad things. That's called giving people an opportunity. That's called being fair. That's called leveling the playing field and giving everyone an opportunity to show what they can do. God does not operate that way. God is not equal opportunity anything. God is not into this equality thing. He's not. Everything in God's universe is unbalanced on purpose because God loves motion. He has pockets of low pressure and pockets of high pressure. Just speaking meteorologically here, the reason there's wind is because you have high pressure moving into low pressure. It's constantly moving. The air is constantly moving. It wouldn't be moving if air were created equal. Air is not created equal. the magnetic poles, positive and negatives. If we were magnetic communists, we would want to make these two poles equal. Well, it's not fair that we have a positive pole and a negative pole. We're going to make the negative pole more positive and the positive pole more negative. We're going to redistribute the power here. And when you do that, what do you end up doing? You end up ruining the power of magnets. Your electric fan won't work anymore. Your air conditioning won't work anymore. Your car won't work anymore. Your computer won't work anymore. Nothing will work anymore if you try to make everything equal. Nothing's going to work. But if you feel like you're on the inferior side of things, again, keep this principle in mind that God gives to the deficient more exceeding honor. And in the context that he's talking about the body, he's talking about the body of Christ and using the analogy of the human body, that the foot is the part of the body that we deem to be inferior. And God says through Paul, that which we deem to be inferior, we're going to give more exceeding honor. This is why when those of Israel received guests into their home, they had a wash basin at the door. Why? To wash the feet. Because that was a real act of humility, and it was a picture of esteeming that which we would commonly deem to be dirty or lesser. And again, these husbands that lorded over their wives, I'm going to lord it over my wife because I've been chosen. And again, it's not that one is better than the other. It's just a matter of yielding. In the case of the husband and the wife yields to the husband. If there's an impasse, the husband or the wife yields to the husband. It makes no comment upon anyone's worthiness, just like a yield sign on the highway. It doesn't mean that the cars that have to yield are worse. In fact, you might have a Maserati having to yield to a Ford Contour. The Maserati has the yield sign. Oh, that means it's inferior. It's got to let the other car go. No, it's just somebody's got to give. And in this case, if you're in this lane, you got to give. If you're a wife in a scripture-based marriage, if it comes to an impasse, you're to give to your husband. Sorry, husband. Sorry, wife. It's not fair. Of course it's not fair. So take away this idea of God trying to be fair, trying to be equal, and failing. He never intended it to be this way. And now we come full circle. When I talk about believers and unbelievers, it comes down to the choice of God. Not out of acts, but of him who was calling. Same thing with Jacob and Esau. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. God hated Esau only relative to his love for Jacob. God is love. So of course, God absolutely loved Esau, but in relation to Jacob, he hated Esau. This gives me freedom to hate people. I love this. I really love this. For the first time, I'm able to say, I hate that guy. And knowing that I really love the person, absolutely speaking, because they're a creation of God. But in relation to other people, I can dislike them. I've told you this before. It was so funny. My parents told me, don't say that you hate anybody. That's a terrible thing to say. I used to think that was the worst thing possible. You hate somebody. Don't ever say you hate them. Well, what am I supposed to say, Mommy? Just say that you dislike them very much. Okay. I eventually looked up the word hate in the dictionary and it said to dislike very much. So, there you go. This is a stronger word for sure. God is the one that designates beforehand those who are to be members of the body of Christ, and it's his choosing, not out of acts, but of him who is calling. 2 Timothy 1:9 backs this up, as you would expect. A God who calls us not in accord with our acts. He doesn't call us in accord with our acts. Before we were born or at any opportunity to put anything into practice, whether good or bad, God said, I want this one. This one's going to be a member of the body of Christ. That's not fair. You didn't give anybody an opportunity to perform for you. No, that's the Christian teaching that humanity is on a big stage and God is Simon Cowell. Or God is Santa Claus, making a list, checking it twice, got to find out who's naughty or nice. No, God doesn't do it that way. It's not based on acts. It's not based on worthiness. It's not based on accomplishment, performance. God is not Simon Cowell. God is not Santa Claus. So you, as a believer, you had no opportunity not to believe. Kind of gives you a little better understanding of those who are unbelievers. They have no opportunity to believe. If they're not chosen beforehand to be in the body of Christ, they have no chance to believe. Of course, we don't know who God has not chosen. And so we broadcast that, we herald the word, just like Paul did on Mars Hill. He heralded it to everybody. And then he found out who is a believer. The believers came to him afterwards, like Dionysius and Damaris came to Paul afterwards. Acts 17 says, hey, we like that. We want to find out what you're all about. Tell us what you believe. But the majority of the people jeered, booed Paul off the stage. So, as I've always said, it'd be nice if God would put a cursor, you know, a cursor above people's heads to let us know who he has chosen beforehand. So then we wouldn't have to embarrass ourselves or trouble ourselves to go out and herald to people who have no opportunity to believe. We don't know that, so we're supposed to broadcast it. We broadcast it, and we let God sort it out according to his predetermined purpose.